Today, on Commitment to Truth.
There may be a season in your life you regret, but the quicker you can align with God, He then translates one day of your life into 1,000 years. Because we all live with regrets to some degree, right? Man, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, but the choice is still ours to say, okay, God, but today I will choose to follow you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we'll continue a sermon series titled, Because He Came. During this Christmas season, many Christians rightfully focus upon God's gift to mankind. Yet, because of Christ's entrance into space and time, God has given us not only the gift of salvation, but also has given us the means to obtain it, the evidence that sustains it, and the promises to claim within it. Therefore, because Christ came, there are many truths that are non-negotiable and that are foundational in our faith. Now, in this series, we will identify three of these truths to help us understand the precious and powerful gift of Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So again, during this Christmas season, we've been learning in this sermon series that as Christians, we do rightfully focus on the birth or the gift of Christ. And from this gift or through this gift, we all have been afforded the gift of salvation. And what we've also been learning is that in this gift of salvation, there's wrapped many theological truths. Too many to list, too many to go through in an entire sermon series. Truth be told, you'll probably be here till Jesus comes back, no pun intended, you know, if I got through all the theological truths. But I narrowed it down to three. And the first was this, was that because Jesus Christ came, we have great confidence that the scriptures are reliable and they are perfect in all their ways. They are the ultimate authority by which we govern our lives and we ask God to direct our lives. They are a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. And not only that, we began to dive into some proof of the text, that the text is real, the text is reliable, even from some historical documents that support that the scriptures are inspired by God. But then last week we covered that because Christ came, we are sons and daughters, okay? When I say we, it is those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not everybody is a child of God, all right? Everyone is a creation of the Creator God, and we're all created in His wonderful image. But not everybody is a child of God. Remember Jesus says, pray in this way, our Father, which says and signals, well, if He's our Father, He's not really yours or someone else's, right? So, but the wonderful privilege is through Christ and because of Christ, we all can become sons and daughters of the living God. And remember we learned last week as well, is that in the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to impart His Holy Spirit within us to cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, Daddy. It's a Greek word that says that we can call the God of this, of all creation, Daddy, affectionately Daddy. Not only God the Father, but God Daddy, which is pretty cool. So sons and daughters we can become. And then this week and next week, we're going to finish on this truth. It's because Christ came, He's coming again. He came, and the same way He came, same way He went, He will come again. So if you can, open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We're going to read through the entirety of verses 1 through 11, but only be in part of those verses this week, and then next week we're going to come back and finish up. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says this. Now as to the periods and times, brothers and sisters, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. Verse number 8, it says, but since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, it says, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you also are doing. So again, because Christ came, wonderful truths, but we've narrowed it down to about six for this final point. He's coming back again. And here's the first point. If he's coming back again, we who are called sons and daughters, we should know he's coming. So it's likened to this. I know in my household, my parents used to say, son, I need you at home, chores done, homework done by the time I get home. Inevitably, I never did it, or I rarely did it. And inevitably, what normally happens is mom or dad would change the frequency or the time in which they came. You follow what I'm saying? Normally, you can kind of say, well, mom or dad would be home by 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? Inevitably, one of them showed up early and caught me by surprise, which we're going to learn how we will be caught by surprise. So our challenge is to understand is that if you are part of this household, why am I telling you that I'm coming back? Because the sinful tendency is to act like he's not going to show up. So therefore, there's this inherent need to be reminded over and over again that I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. He should have told us once and done, right? I've told you I'm coming back. So if I'm coming back, you make sure you're ready when I come back, even though you'll never know when I'm coming back. So that's why if you look deeper at verse number 1, it says this, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica this, is that there is no necessity and there is no business needed to be communicated to you because you should know this already. You should know that I'm coming back. And if I'm coming back, all the chores should be done. Everything that was on the fridge, I wrote on the refrigerator for you, you know, all the to-dos that I've written in the scriptures should be lived out, should be a part of your life, and no one should be reminding you of what you should do, how you should act before I show up. And that's why you look at the first part of verse 2, it says, you yourselves know full well. Listen to what these words mean. You know means as you who are intimate. So if we're intimately acquainted with the Lord, you don't need to be reminded. Right? Think about this, church. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, his spirit lives within us. The book of James says in chapter 4, it says that he jealously longs to fellowship with the spirit who indwells us. So there's this intimacy that God longs for us to have, but do we reciprocate with the intimacy with God? You follow me? So if there is this intimacy, I will always know full well. And think about this. If there's intimacy with God, I will already be anticipating him coming home. Right? If there's a true fond affection for God and you understand how much he loves you and you love him, you can't wait until he comes. Some of us want to go too soon. Right? But there's this intimacy, but the words you know also means this, you belonging to one's household. Think about that for a minute. In your household, there's a household dialect. There's a household language. There's household nuances, right? So what the scriptures are saying to you and I, in this household that you're now a part of and that he's the father of, there's been kitchen table conversation already had. There's nuances that you should know about. There's warnings that you've already been given, right? There's sit downs that you've already had that should have been, you should be reminded of that he has given you within the household. The words go on to be defined this way: you related by blood. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are now children of God in his household. It also means that you belonging to the household of God is simply you and I who should know factually that he's coming back. So again, the first point that we're really landing on here today is that there's no need for a follower of Jesus Christ, a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God, to be reminding that he's coming soon. We're part of the bloodline. We're part of the family. We're part of the household of God. And this is just a part of what we do as a household, is anticipate daddy coming back. You follow me? That being said, if we look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, this is when Christ was about to ascend to the Father. And as the scripture says in Hebrew, be seated at the right hand of the Father. He has this conversation with his disciples, right? But then the two angels shows up and begins to echo these words to the disciples. Beginning with verse 9, he says this: and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing, two angels, stood beside them and said, they said this: men of Galilee, why do you stand looking to the sky? It's almost like, why are you standing there? You know he's going to come back. Because if you read the scriptures in his entirety, he told them before he left that he was going to leave and come. So why are you standing there with this spaced out look? This Jesus who has been taken out from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Verse 11 gives us a key word, and that word is come. He will come in the same way. He will arrive. He will appear. He will have this public appearance that there will be no mistaking that it's him. In the early church, first century church, they used to use this word called Maranatha. Maranatha. And it consists of two Aramean words, which meant, it was two words, Maran, Atha, meaning our Lord comes or he is coming. It later was interpreted as or adopted as the phrase, our Lord is coming and he's going to judge those folks who are not with him, if you would. Or there's another interpretation that simply says this: come quickly, Lord, come quickly. So what we should be a people who know he's coming are saying, God, you can come now. You don't have to delay. You don't have to put that on pause until I kind of get my life together, until I get my house in order and then come. He's like, no, come now. Come now. I can't wait until you come. You see, that's what children say when they've done exactly what mom and dad said for them to do. If you didn't go down the checklist, the to-do list, you don't want mama to show up. Right? You don't want daddy to show up and you haven't done what he said for you to do. The similar to us, church, is that Christ is coming again. And this family fact is that as the household of God, we should know he's coming and it should not surprise us at all. Amen. But then we find also in the latter part of verse 2, it says, again, this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, he's coming like what? A thief in the night. And the last time I checked, thieves don't say, hey, I'm coming in to rob you. Let me text you a message real quick, right? You know, I'm going to inbox you and let you know that I'm about to rob you, right? Carjackers don't say, hey, everybody, I'm about to take your car. Listen up. No, it is a surprise. Therefore, the word thief means this, like an embezzler, a pilferer, a burglar, like a crook in the night. That's how he's going to come. Pretty bad description, but that's what it is. He's going to, in essence, he's saying, I'm going to surprise you. So he's coming like he said he's coming. And this is something that followers of Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the living God, I know you're coming. But on top of that, he's going to come unannounced. Again, like any good parent. Any good parent says, do what I tell you to do. Then I'm going to surprise you. I'm just going to sneak up on you one day and whammo. Right? I'm going to give you the surprise attack. If you're a parent, you should probably try the surprise attack every now and then. It works really well. It's effective. You know, and he's just going to surprise us every now and then and shock us. And we won't know when he's coming. But one thing is for sure, we'll know the how. And we know he's surely coming. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 affirms what Peter, who was one of his disciples, what he heard from Jesus. He kind of affirms it in the book, in the letter that he wrote. But it also gives us, if you would, some inclination about the how. Listen to what it says. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. It says, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice, that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. It says, through which the world at that time was destroyed by what? Being flooded with water, the great flood, Noah, right? Verse 7, it says, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. It says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. I need to interject something here because this is important. Probably some of you, or many of you, even like myself, you may find yourself having regrets. In other words, man, I wish I would have maybe came to know Christ a little sooner. Maybe if I would have made this decision, life would have turned out this way, right? Or maybe you just was just heading down the wrong way, street the wrong way, pretty much all your life. And then now you have tons of regrets of all the time you've missed. You may have heard me say this many times, theologically proper. When it comes to time, with God, he is not governed by time. There is no time with God. Only man have put days, times, epochs together because that's just the way we're wired. That's what we need. You follow me? But in him, there is no time. Time ceases to exist in him. Therefore, when you look at this verse, he says, what, one day is like 1,000 years. So I always like to remind myself and remind others of this, is that yes, there may be a season in your life you regret, but the quicker you can align with God, he then translates one day of your life into 1,000 years. In other words, he can do more in one day in your life than you can do by yourself. Amen. If you choose to align in his will. You follow me? If you choose to live in him, breathe in him, exist in him, he supernaturally allows your life to be more fruitful than you can make it on your own. And I believe this is an important truth to really grab, to know that, man, because we all live with regrets to some degree, right? Man, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, or we made bad decisions and now we're living in the afterglow, if you would, of those bad decisions. But the choice is still ours to say, okay, God, but today and from this day forward, I will choose to follow you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because there's a way that seems right unto man, but his end leads to what? Destruction. But if I acknowledge him in all of my ways, his promise is to do what? Make my path straight. Make crooked things straight. That's what God does. He takes one day and accomplishes 1,000 years of work in it. And that's a wonderful promise. But it goes on in verse number 9, again in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish. Please know that. If you have family members who don't know Christ, he doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So if you hear someone say, well, that God is so evil, he's so mean, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of him, himself. And then verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord, though, will become like a what? A thief. In which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be discovered. Now, key word found in verse number 10. Two key words. The first one is the word will, which means simply this. It's emphatically will. In other words, this day of the Lord and him coming like a thief in the night emphatically will happen in spite of what mockers say and in spite of the delay. And that's important to really hold on to, because there will be people who will tease you and mock you, and we're going to get into that deeper in our next point, that they will make fun of you because of who you believe and why you're standing and why you're choosing to do the right thing in the midst of a wrong world. And they will mock you, and then there will be people and even yourself that will question, well, why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? God, give me an early rapture, some of you may say. Just take me away from here. I'm just done with this world. Just take me away. Chances are he's not, because you ask him to be taken away. So, but he says also in verse 10, he will come like a thief. The word come simply says that it will be unexpectedly. It will never, ever happen the way you expect it. Again, going back to my childhood, where I grew up on Central Avenue in Compton, California, right? I would know exactly the direction my parents would come. And I knew I can hang out with my boys for a minute on the street, and they will make this U-turn. My sister, Cynthia, sister Paulette here, excuse me, is here from visiting from California. She's our eldest sister. In her family, actually eldest in the family, and she knows exactly what I'm about to describe. There was this required U-turn for them to get to the house. But every now and then, mom and dad would take a Prilla and go the back way and come up the other way that they didn't have to make the U-turn. And it will always come in a surprise. It would be I'll be outside hanging out with my friends and like, okay, I know exactly when she comes and I could just run home. But what she would do is every now and then come the different direction, the way that I didn't expect it, and catch me and embarrass me. Because inevitably, that's what happens when something happens to you unexpectedly. It's quite embarrassing. And I believe as followers of Jesus Christ, we are of the household of God. It should never catch us by surprise. It should never be unexpected, because he's already forewarned us. We don't know the date. We don't know the time. So we cannot be men and women who are last minute preparers. Verse number 3. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Anybody have babies in the house? A few of you have, right? What do they give you? Well, approximate day of birth. I could probably estimate that most of the time it was never on that date. Either came before, came after, or let's say for you, he or she came on the day. You can rest assured he or she didn't come at the time that you want them on that day, right? And it's so wise of God to use that illustration, because it resonates, right? Because there's this anticipation, okay, the baby's coming, he's starting to move, starting to kick a little more, right? Water breaks, okay, it's definitely coming right now, the water's breaking, right? You know he's coming, he's coming right now. And then you're in labor for another 20 hours. Or if you're fortunate like my wife, Lisa, at least for the first two, or definitely the first one, she goes up to the doctor for a regular routine, didn't even know she was in labor. But that sounds familiar, like the church. We just go through life, don't even know labor pains have started. Just living life as normal, not even recognizing all the signs, all the warnings. Didn't even feel the water break. And just going through life. And the beauty of God and his wisdom, he says he's coming suddenly, but he also says, but here's some warning signs. And I'm going to read a few of them. You see, because as we wait for Christ's return, there's clear signs that he's given us. And what I'm going to read to you today, and we're going to read together in Luke chapter 21, it's only a few of the signs. Few of the signs, but nestled within this is this, church, is that in the midst of the crazy stuff that is happening in the world today, God is going to give you and I the wonderful opportunity to be a testimony. In other words, to be light when everything's dark, to be smell good, all right, sweet smelling aroma when everything else is stinky around. And to me, it's just like God. It's like everything is so chaotic, so terrible, so bad. And he's saying, but you are still here to shine and to smell good so that others can come to know me as you have known me. Make sense? So again, Luke chapter 21, beginning verse number 10. We're going to read through all these verses and take our time because it's super important. It says, then he continued by saying to them, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Anybody seeing that today? Yes. Nations are having the audacity to go into other nations and say, I'm taking you. That's crazy. And it says there will be massive earthquakes, not only in California, and in various places, plagues and families, and there will be terrible sights and great signs from heaven. But before these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and the prisons, bringing you before kings and governors on my account or my name. But listen to what it says in verse 13. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Isn't that great? It's like no matter what's happening to you right now, it has the opportunity to lead to your testimony, for you to shine, for you to smell good. It says, so make up your minds, and this is so cool what God is saying to you and I. Make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself. Don't try to be this apologist. You know what an apologist is? It's a crazy theological term that's used to describe what's called apologetics. And the definition of that is one who defends the faith, which is so weird. It's like, why are you saying that I'm an apologist and to defend the faith? There's nothing to apologize, right? Right. So, but in any event, the apologist has the tendency to, I'm going to make sure I got every answer to every question in every situation. But we're not God, nor will we be able to have every answer. So this is so wise by God to say, so make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. Why? For I will provide you eloquence and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to oppose or refute. But you will be betrayed, listen to this, even by parents, brothers, sisters, other relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you'll be hated by all people because of my name. Have you ever had that experience? In other words, people just don't like you, and they don't know why they don't like you. It's because you're shining and you're smelling good in the midst of stench. It's like, why are you mad at me? Why are you picking on me? It's like, I haven't done anything to you. Well, it's just because you are who you are. It says, listen, verse 18, this is so good. And yet not a hair of your head will perish. But by your endurance, you will gain your lives. So it says, endure and you'll be okay, pretty much, right? Verse 20, it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that our desolation is near. What's happening now, right? Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are inside the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not even enter the city, because these are days of punishment, so that all things which have been written will be fulfilled. Woe to those women who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in the days, and there will be great distress upon the land. Anybody even saying those today? I can't believe what my kids are going to grow up in, right? And it says, in wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Verse 25, it says, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress among nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. That is so happening today. All the stargazing and everything, all the solstice stuff is happening so frequently now. Verse 26, people fainting from fear in the expectation of things that are coming upon the world. You realize therapy and anxiety, the need for therapy and anxiety is on the rise like never before. Fear and expectations of things that are coming upon the world, for powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, listen to what it says to you and I, how we should react. Straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is now near. So you too, when you see things like this happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what? My word will never pass away. Thus we should lean on his word during this season, right? It says, but be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that this day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. And remember, we were saying, no, it shouldn't surprise you, but it's going to surprise people, and it will feel like a what? Trap. It's like, well, he didn't tell me it was coming. Yes, he did. You just weren't listening. You're just doing whatever you want to do. It shouldn't feel like a trap that he's trying to trick us or something. Then it says again in the last verse, verse 35, it says, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of all the earth. Then it says, but stay alert at all times, praying that you will have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. These things, underscore this, are going to take place. We think it's bad now. It's only labor pains. It's going to get worse. But what should we do? We're not people who walk in fear, and now we're all stressed out, and now we can't even function. But it says in verse 36, stay alert. But be sleepless. Don't be caught asleep. But keep watch. Be attentive. Be ready at all times. You see, there needs to be watchmen and women on the wall. Men and women who says, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to make sure that I am ready. We can't become men and women who get so caught up in the nonsense. It's so much that is happening that can cause your blood pressure to rise, your heart to palpitate, and be stressed out and find yourself in the emergency room just because you have anxiety and your heart's just like fluttering out of your chest. And this stuff is happening, and it's real that people can't even sleep today because of so much anxiety. Maybe turn off your TV for a minute. Read the word of God and be reassured that he's coming again. There will be clear signs of his return. But here's what we should be holding on to. These clear signs signal an opportunity to be a testimony. That's the way we should really head into this and lean into this, church, is that it's going to happen. Because it's promised. It's written. We can't rewrite the story. I don't care who's in office as a president. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Now, it doesn't mean that you're like, oh, okay, it's all going to burn. Let me act like a fool. But it's all going to burn. He's coming back. Let me be prepared. And let me be light, salt, sweet smelling aroma. When it gets so dark around me, let me shine. Amen. Let me not be consumed and consume the darkness, right? Let me not just fit in. Let me be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Amen. Right? Because a thermostat controls the environment. A thermometer succumbs to what? The environment. That's what light does. That's what sweet smelling aromas do. You know, when you smell that person who has that cologne just walking past you and you're like, wow, that smells good. That should be us in the midst of a smelly world. When we pass by, when we show up to work, right? We smell good. We don't blend in at the coffee pot. We don't blend in the cubicle. We don't blend in with the way family and other people are functioning in a sinful, corrupt way. But we choose to be men and women who smell differently, who smell attractive and appealing. That's what God has called each one of us to do. Clearly, there will be signs. But it's our signal to say, lean into this. Don't be afraid. But what does it say? Stand up. And be a living, vibrant testimony of the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. We're king's kids. We're royal priesthood. We're a holy nation set apart. That's what he's called us to be. Amen? Amen. There was a little girl one day after Sunday school. Approached her mother because she was learning about the second coming of Christ. After church, like many children, she began to quiz mom on everything that she learned. And she began to ask mom, Mom, do you believe Jesus is coming back? Mom says, yes, sweetheart, I do believe he's coming back. Well, today? Is he coming back today? She said, yes, baby, he's coming back today. And as you see, she's probably getting a little irritated like parents do because the children could be a little agitating every now and then. And then eventually, you know, the girl asked her again, Mom, you know, is Jesus coming back? She said, yes. Well, is he coming back, you know, right now? She said, yes, dear, he's coming back right now. Then she says, well, Mommy, can you comb my hair? I want to say to you today, start combing your hair. Like I shared earlier, some of us don't have hair to comb, so start shaving your hair or something. You know, make sure it's nice and smooth when he comes back. In other words, start preparing yourself now. do what you need to do now, like he's coming back now. Right? Because truth be told, he can either come get you and take you and you catch an early rapture. Or if he tarries to wait, right, and allow you to see him descending once again the way he ascended, no matter what he chooses, he's coming back, and he will emphatically, unexpectedly come back for you and for me, and to rule and to reign, right, and to give us a new heaven and a new earth and everything that comes along with that. But we must be men and women who are prepared. You got to be prepared.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Cedric with another Weekly Wire. You see, during this holiday season, I'm sure all of us are caught up in the giving and the receiving of gifts. And as I've been mentioning to you during this last two episodes of the Weekly Wire, Christ came as one of the most precious, or the most precious gift from God. And that gift is the gift of salvation. But as we've been unpacking this gift of salvation, we found so many theological truths that we can build our faith upon. So to narrow down, I just landed on three for this holiday season. You see, because Christ came, we have a wonderful promise that the scriptures are completely reliable. They are infallible. They are perfect. They are our lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. They are the truths that we govern our entire life by. They're perfect. The second truth we've learned is this, is that because Christ came, if we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we become his sons and daughters. In other words, we are sons and daughters of a living God, that he has imparted his Holy Spirit within us that cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. So the God of all creation is our Daddy. He's our Father. The third and final truth is this. Because Christ came, he's coming again. In other words, the scripture says that he's coming like a thief in the night. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't know what day or time or season he's going to come, but he's going to come. You see, I remember the story in the scriptures when Christ ascended to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Remember what the angels of the Lord said to the disciples who were gazing up in heaven? He says, what are you looking up in heaven for? He says, the one you see ascending, he will be back and he will return the same way in which you've seen him leave. So the people during that time in the first century church, they greeted each other with this word, Maranatha. So I say to you today during this Christmas season, Maranatha, which says, come quickly, Lord. I expect you to come soon. Can we be men and women, sons and daughters, men and women who stand upon the truth and the authority of God's word that says, God, I know you're coming soon, so let me be the salt, the light, the sweet-smelling aroma in a dark and dying world. Help me to go into the highways and byways, compelling people to come in that his houses of worship may be filled. Can we be men and women who allow our yes to be yes and our no to be no, men who truly allow the word of God to govern every area of our lives, because he is coming soon.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. We hope you remain engaged in this sermon series as our pastoral team takes us through a special Christmas series. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.